is just drawn to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening. Do you all mind if we worship just a little bit more? Come on, stand on your feet. Is he worthy?
Amen.
He's so worthy of our worship. He's worthy of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We have come into this house. Lift those hands. To give you glory. We have come into this house to give you praise. We have come into this house to give you honor. Hallelujah. We're going to pray, so just stay standing for just a little bit. Come on, give me a little bit more. Hallelujah. We need to go a little bit deeper in our worship. Now, I'm not telling you to run around the church. I'm not telling you to get all that. But we need to have a little bit more passion and go a little bit deeper in our worship. Amen? So, Father, we just love you. We praise you. We magnify you. We give you glory and honor belongs to you. All power and dominion is yours. Father, everything that we do, we just want it to please you. And Father, we just want our heart to be like yours. Give us the heart for the things that you care about. Father, exchange our hearts, oh God, for yours. Clean hearts, oh God. New hearts, oh God. A spiritually healthy heart, God. Heart that carries your agenda, is consumed with you and the things that you care about. And Father, we pray that you would stir up the gifts in us. Stir up the gifts in us, oh God. We're a thankful people. We're an honoring people. Lord, we're an affirming people. We are a positive people. And Father, we just pray that you would put a little bit more wood on the fire of the altar of our heart. Put a little bit more wood. Cause us to give our lives to you over and over and over again. Hallelujah. Keep the fire of your presence burning in our lives every day, every night, night and day, day and night. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the prayers that have already gone up, for those who are part of this body, those who are scheduled for surgery, those who have just come through surgery, those that are in the hospital, those that are in hospice care. We pray for peace and comfort and blessed assurance. Father, you said that healing is the children's bread. So Father, we decree and we declare healing for your people tonight, for our loved ones, for the loved ones of this church. Father, we give you glory and we give you honor. And Father, we expect a testimony of praise to come to this house, because the prayers of the saints avails much. And we send those prayers up to you now. And we call those names, oh God. Oh God, our loved ones, the ones that are in this house, the ones that are associated with this house, our family members. God, we give them to you tonight in the name of Jesus. And we're a thankful people. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for taking care of our needs, meeting our needs. Lord, you know what we're going through. And we ask that you would meet the need. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you can sit down in the presence of the Lord. Amen. 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 The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen. For some of you who don't know me, my name is Shirlise Washington. I'm a member of this congregation. We've been here 4 years. My husband is Ben. He serves on the board. I'm also an evangelist and a missionary, and so I travel wherever the Lord sends me, and I'm happy to go because I have determined to be submitted, prepared, and available. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. For some of you, you've inquired and you've asked about the book that I wrote, the journey the Lord brought me through last year, 2017, breast cancer, surgery, 20 weeks of chemotherapy, 20 radiation treatments. The Lord has brought me through, and I chronicled that journey about the process, how to go through and come out on the end with restoration. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So you can see me at the end of service. All of the book sales go to international missions. Amen. The Lord blessed and released me to go back to the international field. The doctors wouldn't let me go, but I did everything else except for travel internationally last year. I went everywhere. When they had radiation, when that started, I said, give me your first appointment. I need 7 o'clock in the morning, because when I leave here, I go straight to the prison, drive an hour and a half, and I minister to the women in the hole. And they're looking for me. That's a pastoral role for them. I'm the only spiritual support the Lord has allowed them to receive me to go into the hole and minister to 35 to 40 women, mental illness, rubber room, suicide watch, violators, offenders who have gotten in extra trouble. Everybody is there. The hardest of the hardcore, these women are thrown away. And I said, I gotta get to the women. It's a 3-hour round trip drive. I gotta get to the women. So they said, Miss Washington, we'll make sure that every appointment, because I had to go every day to radiation, every day. I'm like, oh my God. I said, I need 7 o'clock. So the Lord did that. He chronicled that entire journey. I chronicled that journey as a memorial to what the Lord will do.
Amen.
If you just trust him. If you trust him. So you can see me for that. We're gonna go right into the word. I told the class Sunday morning, I said, I've been chewing on something, didn't I, sis?
Yes, you did.
I said, I've been chewing on something. So look at here. The Lord is letting me deliver this little bit to you tonight. Amen. So the name, if you can put up my PowerPoint, I want you to say this. We must be born again, again. We must be born again, again. Can you say that? We must be born again, again. Okay, I'm going somewhere. I don't see my PowerPoint up there, but you have the handout. So we'll just keep going. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 3 says, Jesus answered and said to him, truly,
truly,
truly. Okay, he's stressing the point. Anytime a word is repeated more than once, the Lord is stressing the point, and he's doing the talking. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We're going to look at a little bit of that. Jesus said unto him, who? Nicodemus. How many of you know that story? Nicodemus was a very prominent person in the religious community. He was a Pharisee. He served on the council of the Sanhedrin court. He was a bigwig. But he came to Jesus by night. He didn't want anybody to see him coming, to inquire of the Lord about his teachings, about who are you? See, he had been in church all his life. He had been groomed. He had gone through all of his theological studies. But what did this verse say? I say to you, Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot see. Do you see that in that scripture? Unless one is born again, he cannot see. He cannot see the kingdom of God, the things of God, spiritual things. Amen? You can be in church, but cannot see. You can come to every time the door is open. You can fulfill all of your duties in the church. You can serve on the board. You can work in the children's ministry. You can do all of that and still not see the kingdom of God. Why we're here, why we're doing all of this. Amen. The Lord quite often used this teaching technique to compare a spiritual truth with a physical reality. Nicodemus said, how can this be? How can a man enter into his mother's womb a second time? Nicodemus was so far out of it, he didn't even have a clue as to what the Lord was talking about. What? Born again. But we know born again means what? It means being born by the Spirit. It means being regenerated, which is a new birth. It means to be called or washing, brought about by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Amen? I'm going somewhere. Stick with me. I only have really three passages of scripture that I want to talk to you tonight. The next scripture says, John 4, 23 and 24 says, but the hour is coming and, come on, let's just read that again. But the hour is
coming
and
now is.
Okay, so that's one of those things when you go to ministry prep school. And I went to ministry prep school.
Nice.
One of those things is, it's called dynamic tension. It's the now and not yetness of the scripture. The scripture says, but the hour is coming. It's coming. It's coming. and now is. It's right now and it's future. When the true worshipers, are you a true worshiper? Or do you just come to church? Do you just see your friends? Do you serve in ministry? Are you a prayer partner? Are you a greeter? Are you an usher? Or are you a true worshiper who does all of those things by chance? True worshipers. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. In spirit and truth. We come to the house of worship, but when we enter into worship, the only way we can enter into worship is through the Spirit. It's not enough for us to come and do our own things. It's not enough for us to practice at choir rehearsal or praise team rehearsal. Those are good things and we better practice. But it's not enough. True worshipers guard the presence of God in their lives. They guard it. It's so precious. They don't want to be guilty of being carnal in church. Carnal meaning being consumed with the things of the world in church. True worshipers protect the presence of God. True worshipers protect the anointing on their lives. True worshipers protect what their ears take in. True worshipers protect what their eyes see. Now, I'm not saying I grew up old school Pentecostal and they didn't let us do anything. We couldn't go to the show. We couldn't wear slacks, ladies. We couldn't wear makeup. We couldn't do all that stuff. We got free now, praise the Lord. We free, we pray, hallelujah. So, thank you, Jesus, we free. But I grew up old school. And back in the day, they didn't outright say it was a sin, but they didn't encourage us to go and see every movie that came out. Because they taught us to guard our hearts and guard the things of God in our life and protect the anointing. You can't take everything in and be a true worshiper. You can't fill yourself up with the things of the world. I know some people are heavy into the politics right now and we're going through a really crazy time, but that's worldly stuff. Heathens do what heathens do. The people of God shouldn't be consumed with that. We should be guarding the presence of God. We should be praying for our leaders in the secular world at every level. That's our job. We ought to get caught up in that. Amen? Amen. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. So we can put forth our effort. We can come. We can make sure we got the music right. We can make sure that, you know, who's bringing what for this potluck and who's taking care of the children. And we can do all of that stuff, and that's wonderful stuff. The people of God need to fellowship with each other. But that's not it. That's not the goal. The goal is to worship. The goal is to worship. Now, who is the Lord talking to? He's talking to his people, the church. He's seeking such right here in the church. He's seeking true worshipers who know what the real purpose is. Why is he seeking those true worshipers who can only worship in spirit and in truth? Jesus Christ is the Spirit of truth. It's because God is spirit. He isn't a spirit. God is spirit. God is spirit. He is. He said, I am. I am not a. He said, I am. He is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Why? That's the only thing he will accept. It's the only thing he will accept. He's not going to accept, I went to prayer 3 times a week. I attended every social function. I called people on the phone to check up on them. I went to visit the sick and I went da 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 da. Those are wonderful things. Please don't stop doing that. But he's looking for those who are going to bring the gift and the sacrifice of worship, because it is a sacrifice. The Bible says, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise with the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. We should be beating the door down trying to get to the house of God before everybody. David was so consumed with worship, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He came in rejoicing. He worshiped. He was known for his worship. The last passage of scripture is coming from Psalm 87. And if you will turn there to Psalm 87, and we have a key verse or two we're going to pull out of there. Psalm 87 talks about being born. And this is where I'm going to get to. We need to be born again, again. We need to be born again, again. Amen. Psalm 87 says, his foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion. You all know what Zion is? Zion. There's a natural Zion, there's a spiritual Zion. Remember, Jesus often used that teaching method of in the natural to give a spiritual truth. Zion exists today. It's in the city of Jerusalem. It's where the people of God gather. It's where he brought his people. What they're supposed to do, they're supposed to be worshiping over there. That's what they're supposed to be doing. But they're supposed to be worshiping Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, our universal King. Now, I have met some Messianic Jews, and they're doing their thing. They got the revelation. But there's a whole group that have not yet come in, and we're praying them in. Zion is in the natural, and it exists in the physical, and it's a hill in Jerusalem. But let's talk about spiritual Zion. It's the city of God. It's where his presence dwells in the spirit realm. It's where Solomon built the temple on that holy hill. It's where David, where it's called the city of David, who was known, renowned for his worship of our King. It's the place where God dwells. That's Zion. That's what I want to know. Have you been born in Zion? Have you been born in Zion? True worshipers are born in Zion. True worshipers don't just come to the altar or raise their hand and say, I'm born again, hallelujah, I did it today. And that's it. People who are born again are born again and again and again and again and again and again, constantly giving their lives over and over and over and over and over to the very presence of God and his worship. Amen? That's the kind of born again I'm talking about. So, verse 2 says, the Lord loves the gates of Zion where we enter in. It's about his presence. More than all the dwellings of Jacob. I thought it curious that the word Jacob was used there, because Jacob represented the flesh, because he had a name change, right? Jacob's name was changed to a spiritual name. What was that? Israel. They used Jacob here. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of the natural places. Three glorious things are spoken of you. Who? Those of you who are in Zion. Glorious things are spoken of you. We should have the most impeccable character. We should be full of integrity. We should be of the highest morals of any people. Scandal shouldn't be named among us. This preacher failed. That preacher failed. This scandal, this affair, this money grabbing shouldn't be named among us. Amen? Am I a little too rough tonight? All right. Amen. Glorious things, verse 3, are spoken of you, those who were born in Zion. O city of God, Selah. Think about that. Pause a minute. That's what Selah is. Verse 4 says, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to those who know me. Behold or look, O Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This one was born there. What does that mean? It means every people, every culture, every ethnic identity, it doesn't matter, will be born in Zion. Everybody will be represented there. It won't just be one people that God called out. It will be now those who were born in Zion and have been adopted into this new city. Amen? Amen. Verse 5 said, and of Zion it will be said, this one and that one. Say this one and that one. Point to somebody and say this one and that one. Amen? This one and that one were born in her. Who? Zion. Born in Zion. And the Most High himself shall establish her. The Lord will record. All right. That's another book the Lord has. That's another book. I believe throughout scripture, you talk about 5 different books. Book of Days, Book of Judgment, Book of Zion, there are lots of books. He's going to keep a record. My husband's a CPA, he keeps lots of records. Everything filed, just so. When he registers the peoples, not the people, the peoples, all of us that represent every nation of the world, he's going to take a sentence. There are people who are all over the world. I've been all over the world. Every place I've been, I have found the people of God who were born in Zion, Thailand, Laos, Vietnam, Cuba, Guyana, Mozambique, Belize. Where did I go? Belize, Belize. Amen. Rome. France, Rome, Italy, Vatican City, amen. Lucerne, Switzerland, got folks born in Zion. London, England, got folks born in Zion. Every place I've been, Mexico, I found folks born in Zion. Peoples. When he registers the peoples, this one was born there. Selah. Think about that. It's not just us. It's bigger than us. It's bigger than us. Lastly, both the singers and the players on instruments say, all my springs are in you. Now these are the ones who help us to worship. These are the ones who help us to worship. All my springs mean of joy. My resources of life and joy are in you. That's what the singers and the musicians, when they're playing and worshiping the Lord with their talents, helping us to worship in the house of the Lord. So now I want you to go to your handout. You ready? I want you to fill it in. Verse 1 was talking about they have a strong foundation. These are the 7 attributes of those born in Zion. I was typing this real fast and asking the Lord, Lord, how can I condense this to make it real easy for these scriptures to remember? This is what the Lord gave me. Verse 1, they have a strong foundation. If you've been born in Zion, you have a strong foundation. We're not in and out, backsliding, coming back, backsliding, coming out. Now, the Lord says he's married to the backslider. Come on, don't use that as an excuse to stay out there. Come on back. Come on back, get a strong foundation and stay in Zion. Verse 2, they are thankful praisers. Thankful praisers. When we come into the house of the Lord, we should be so thankful. We should be thanking God for everything. There shouldn't be a murmur, a complainer, anything about when I was going through cancer, everything I prayed for, every answer or report I got from the doctor was the opposite of everything I prayed for. I said, okay, God, looks like I'm gonna have to go through this. I said, but I trust you. And I'm not one of those people who say God's talking to me all the time, but I've heard in my spirit the Lord say, but can I trust you? Not to murmur, not to complain, to go through the test, the attack of the enemy on my life. And I said, yes, Lord, because I knew it was going to be for ministry, because I was going to live to talk about it. Amen. Verse 3, they are well spoken of and known for high morals and integrity. Come on, let's examine ourselves. Do speak, like a Sister Sunday said, oh, you're Sister Shirley's. I introduced me to you. She goes, I've heard about you. I said, I hope good things. She said, yeah, I've heard good things. I said, good. Because those who are born in Zion are well spoken of. Amen. Verse 4, they represent every race and cultural ethnicity. Verse 5, they are established by the Lord with displays of his power. For example, there are great warriors throughout history who fought despite their temptation. Great heroes and martyrs who lived and died for Jesus. Great apostles, reformers, and those of renowned virtues. They are established by the Lord with displays of his power. Verse 6, and I'm almost there. They are registered and counted in God's divine census. Amen? Come on, say hallelujah. Is your name there? Is it in the record book of God? The book of Zion? Those who were born in that city? The true worshipers? Amen? And lastly, they are people who sing, play instruments, and worship with enthusiastic joy. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but First Assembly, we're going somewhere.
Amen.
This is a new day. How many of you are excited for what the Lord is doing at First Assembly? I believe we're about to go through a change. I believe we're about to encounter the presence of God in this place. I know we've been praying for a spiritual leader, but the anointing is on this man of God. I don't know him that well. I've spoken to him, but I can just sense the presence of God on his life and that he is submitted and sold out and all in for Jesus. So I tell everybody, let's put our seatbelts on and buckle up, because the Lord is about to take us somewhere. And we need to be people who are born in Zion, true worshipers, ready to worship in spirit and in truth. And we want this house of worship to be the place where the Lord dwells. Amen. We want the grounds of this place, the perimeter of this campus, that when people even just pass by and look, their head will be drawn on that highway and say, be drawn, something is drawing me to that place. When people come on these grounds, the perimeter, we pray the anointing, when they step on these grounds, that yokes would be broken, strongholds would break off. They would break off those heavy bands and chains. Amen? That people will get delivered here. People will get healed here and set free. Amen? Amen. I'm done. I want you to stand up and we're going to pray. If you've grown cold and have become religious just out of duty, coming to the house of God, dragging in, we should be here. We should be ready. The Lord, we set an appointment with him, 7 o'clock. Don't leave the Lord waiting on us. He said, you made the appointment. I beat you here. Amen. We should be running to the house of God. So if you've grown cold and have become religious, or you just come to church because you're on duty tonight, the Lord blessed me to actually have today, because today would have been, I didn't have to go to the prison today. Amen. I didn't. didn't have to go to the prison day, so the Lord blessed me to be able to share. But if you have lost your intimate worship time, your one-on-one time, where's that soft music Pastor Jeremy was talking about? Brother Deshaun?
The tinkle music.
Come on, the tinkle music helps us, doesn't it? It helps us to enter in. Father, we pray a blessing over those hands. Anoint those hands in the name of Jesus. Skilled musicians, the anointing be upon you, brother. All right. There we go. Isn't that better? All right. I love that, what Pastor Jeremy said. So if you've lost your intimacy in your worship time, take heart. You can begin again. You can be born again. Come on, let's lift those hands. You know who you are. Just begin to tell the Lord what you need. If you need to be born again, just tell him, Lord, I need to be born again. I need the fire of your spirit in my life. I need to put more wood. We used to have a hot stove, and we would put wood in that fire out in the little cabin that we used to have to keep that fire burning so it would burn night and day. That one stove would get so hot, it would keep the place. We didn't have to turn the heat on in no wintertime. That's what we want our lives to be. So, Father, we pray tonight. We pray and we give our lives to you over and over and over again. We're not satisfied with the one encounter that we've had. The one time we prayed to receive Jesus in our heart. The one time we raised our hands to accept you as Lord and Savior. But Father, we want to be those true worshipers, the ones born in Zion. The garters of your presence, the garters of the anointing on our lives. We want to be a people that when others encounter us, that things are broken off of their lives. We can speak a word into them and they will be healed and they will be delivered and set free. We want our lives to be a night and day intercession, singing up and praying up and giving up, oh God, prayers in the spiritual realm with moanings and groanings, calling out people that need to be saved, who need to be free, who need to be delivered. Father, we want to be the people found doing Matthew 25, visiting you in the prisons, visiting the sick, sharing a word given to the needy, pouring out of ourselves. We can only do that if we're born in Zion and understand what true worship is. So, Father, we rededicate ourselves to you tonight. And we give you glory. And we are a thankful people. We're thankful praisers. Come on, thank the Lord for allowing you to be born again. God bless you.
Washington tonight. She always brings a powerful word and a challenge, and I think it's a challenge for all of us. You know, we've been talking for a month now of what God's getting ready to do here, and are we ready? Is our heart ready? Is our spirit in tune with what he's doing? They did.
You have a birth certificate. If you prayed that prayer, put your name. I got real cute, didn't I? When I got some clip art and all that. Our techie brother back there, are you proud of me, brother? Your tech guy, are you proud of me? You want to turn it around? Yeah, you proud. Okay. He's proud of me. Put your name on this birth certificate as a memorial of this message. This is to certify that Sherlise was born in the city of Zion. Put your name.
It's on the back of the handout. Tell them to turn it
over. Oh, yep. The back of your handout is your birth certificate. So there's a pen in the seat in front of you, or you got one in your purse. Grab it right now. If you get your name down on that birth certificate before you walk out the doors tonight. I'm going to pray one more blessing over you guys before we dismiss, but I'm going to give you a second to write your names because you're all Dan. Father, we just come before you tonight. We thank you for the challenge. Father, the ability to keep looking forward of what you want to do and to be ready for what you want done, not only here in this place, but Father, in our hearts, in our lives, that we can be true worshipers of you. Father, be residents, be those that were born in the city of Zion. Father, we just ask that this week, as everyone goes from this